We'd like to pray before we begin our Bible study. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week, we are reading about how God appeared to Abraham and to Sarah and made a promise, a very concrete promise. We're going to look at that. But I want to take one step back and remember where Abraham and Sarah came from. They came from another place. They had to respond to God's word to them. Those two words, you remember them? Lech lecha. Say that with me. Lech lecha. Get yourself up and get yourself out. And I want you to think about something. Every leaving creates an empty place in a person's life. And for a disciple, for someone who's serious about following God, it takes discernment, it takes wisdom, and it takes real character to recognize what can fill the empty places that are created in our lives. And when you think about Abraham and Sarah, think about what they left. They left their family, they left their homeland, they left their ethnic group, and that created an empty place in their hearts and in their lives. You know, whenever you leave family, it creates an empty place in your life. Is that true? Whenever you leave your homeland, even if you move from one city that you've lived in for long enough, you move to another place, there's a bit of emptiness, unfamiliarity, uncertainty. And when you leave the comforts and the familiarity of your ethnic group and you go somewhere where you're surrounded by people of different backgrounds, it's just like leaving your whole family and your culture and more, and it creates an empty place in your life. And that's how it was for Abraham and Sarah. And it's important for you and me to remember what they went through so we can appreciate what God did for them. And not only that, the things that they experienced will be repeated in our lives. And the way that they walked in faith, the way that they lived the life of faith will help us as messianic believers live a life of faith too. So it's really important to remember that the leaving was for a purpose. God had a purpose, and he had a plan for Abraham and Sarah that required that they leave where they were and leave all that they did. And so in a very real way, God had a plan that created emptiness in their lives. And you know what? He wanted to fill those empty places with something very, very specific. The Lord told Abraham what would fill the empty place in his life. Children, grandchildren. In fact, many generations of descendants. And this was a word that God spoke to Abraham, and he spoke it to Sarah when they had no children. And not only did they have no children, they were old. They were really old. And in fact, they were beyond having children. It was no longer even a thought for Sarah. Kids, ha, you have got to be kidding. But the Lord wanted them to leave, knowing they would have this empty place, and then he was going to fill the emptiness. And so they left one land and they got a new land. They left their homeland. And think of what the exchange was really about. You leave your homeland, Abraham, you're going to get children, grandchildren, and not only that, generations and generations to come. The fact that you and I are here tonight is a testimony that God fulfilled what he said he would do. Now, not only did God promise children to Abraham and Sarah, he promised a covenant to them, an unbreakable in a firm relationship that they would have with God that would sustain them and keep them. And he promised that this covenant would not end with them. Parents, when you're raising children, sometimes don't you worry? Are my kids going to go on with God? Are they going to get distracted or be weak in their faith? Oh, they were strong when they were little, but what about when they're out on their own? Every parent, I think, has some thoughts like this. And God said to Abraham that I'm going to establish a covenant with you, with your son, with your grandson, and with your descendants forever and ever. What a promise, a covenant. Not just a blessing, but a covenant where God says, you can count on this. And God promised one more thing. And this is not an exhaustive list. Not only a family and a new place to live, not only a covenant, but he promised that Abraham and his descendants would be a blessing to the whole world. I mean, wouldn't you like to be just a blessing to your neighborhood? Wouldn't it be nice if your boss thought you were a blessing for everybody at work? Or what if everyone in your family thought you are such a blessing? Everyone liked you. No one said anything mean about you. They just thought, oh, when I'm with you, it's so good. Well, God said to Abraham, you will be a blessing, and all the families of the earth will learn to bless themselves. You know what? For those of us who are concerned about replacement theology and anti-Semitism and Ahmadinejad and things like that, you know, even Ahmadinejad has the potential to learn to bless himself through the sons of Abraham and the daughters of Abraham. Don't write off people, because God is willing to show kindness to anyone who would turn towards him. Well, when we think about all this, all the leaving, all the emptiness, together with the promises, and let me just say, it's important to add the promises. You know, you think about the leaving and the empty places, and you may, you know, if you're going through a tough time involving leaving, you may be a little tearful or sad thinking about it. But I want to encourage you, think about the promises too. God has promises that he made to Abraham, to Sarah, and he makes promises to you and to me. You can understand how complicated it was for Abraham and Sarah to live with the empty places. They're old, and God creates new empty places for them. And it is not hard to understand something about how difficult it was for them. Just think about Ishmael for a moment, and you can understand how difficult it is. Because every one of us has like this desire to hurry things along, don't we? Sometimes God's too slow for us. Isn't that true? You better be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. I know the way we pray. What's taking you so long? Why, Lord? Now, Lord. When you think about Ishmael, think about some situation in your life that you tried to hurry along that didn't work out so well. Am I the only one who does stuff like that too? Every day. You know, there are times when we get confused, we mix up our need for initiative and our need to take action. We get confused about that sometimes, and we try to take action on the things that God's saying, wait, I'm going to do. And Ishmael is just a picture of that, but he's also a picture of the emptiness, that empty place in Abraham and Sarah's life. And you can see how big a problem Ishmael was. That's how big the emptiness was. They wanted so badly to receive what God was promising to them. And they thought they figured it out. Have you ever done that? You think you figure it out? And then you work your plan? And then your plan's a disaster? I must be talking to the wrong group of people. You guys, like, but let me tell you this. Despite the emptiness, despite the error that misguided Abraham and Sarah that produced Ishmael, they kept pushing in to God. And even after the error, the trouble with Ishmael, they kept pressing into God, and God kept looking for them, and that's what we read about this week. God came down. And he came down after their trouble. You know, sometimes when people make a mistake, they sin, they do their own thing, they get their Ishmael, they think God is going to leave them. They're guilty. There's visible evidence to everyone that they weren't really walking in the grace of God. But you know what? God comes down and he visits Abraham and he visits Sarah and he says, I've got good news for you. You see, the God who we serve is a God who brings good news to people who have bad news. And he redeems and he rescues. Abraham and Sarah, they kept pressing in despite their mistakes, despite what they had done. You see, where they showed real strength is they did not waver in their faith in God and their hope in him who had made a promise to them. And they received Isaac. And in Isaac, the covenant was reckoned, and through his descendants, specifically through Jacob, the covenant was extended into what would become the nation of Israel. But can you imagine, after you've had that empty place and you've tried to fill it in the wrong ways, and then you see it's a disaster, it's so easy to lose hope. It's so easy to give up on everything and to give up on your faith about your own God and his dealings of mercy in your life. It's easy when you see disaster that's your own creation just to say, it's over. And many people in such situations, they may not intend to, but they walk away from God. Why? Because they're disappointed in themselves. And they figure, as disappointed as they are, God must be infinitely more disappointed. And they think that God's plan for their life is to judge them, to find them guilty, and then to discard them. But we see something. God knows how to redeem us. He knows how to pick us up when we're falling. He knows how to turn things around. You may be in the middle of making a terrible decision. I'd encourage you, stop. Don't make that terrible decision. And let God show his grace and his mercy and his redemptive power now before it gets worse. You can do that. Some of you are thinking, that's me. So I'd say, don't do it. But some of you, some of us, me, you, we have made mistakes, we have done things before, and then we have to walk out a future that includes some trouble. That doesn't mean God leaves us. And it's very important for us not to leave God. That's why we need a redeemer. That's why we need atonement. That's why we need Yeshua, who died as an atonement for our sins, who pays for that. That's why God can say he's just in forgiving us. Because he looks at what we really deserve and he doesn't give it to us. Well, how can he explain his mercy? He says, I've got a sacrifice that's big enough that covers all of your sin. All of it. The promises that God has made to you may require leaving, and you may find that when you leave in obedience to God, it creates emptiness for you too. It's important. This is what I really want to focus on right now. It's important not to let anything else fill up those empty places other than what God has promised you. Let me be concrete. Maybe God promised you a wonderful spouse. Well, don't go looking for just anything. Don't allow loneliness, the emptiness, to drive you to enter into a presumptuous marriage or relationship. Premarital sex, extramarital sex. These are often driven because by the emptiness in people's lives. And yet God wants to satisfy you in ways that are pleasing to him and will bring joy to you too. Sometimes alcohol and drugs are the way that people fill up their empty places. Sometimes it's food. Can we admit that? Who can admit that? Food can be a drug. Now, my favorite drug, my drug of choice, is coffee. It is true. But beyond that, food can be like a drug for me. How about for you? I know it's true for a lot of us. When we've got enough emptiness, you know what? We want to eat. It makes us feel better. We've got to be careful about that. You know, work can be what we use to fill up our emptiness. You may have a personality where you're a workaholic and you've got empty places. And so rather than wait for what God has in mind and deal with that emptiness, you just work yourself. Work harder and harder. There are a lot of things that we can use to fill up the empty places. But I want you to understand something. The empty places are the exact places that God has created in your life that he wants to fill his way. And he wants to fill those empty places with what he promised to you, not just anything. Hebrews 11:15 helps us understand the importance, let me see if I can say this right, of giving up the idea that you can just go back the way you came. You can go back to what you left and try to overcome the empty feelings. Hebrews 11:15 is speaking about Abraham and Sarah, and it says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. You see, when they left, they really left that land. When they left with the intention of never going back. When Moses left Egypt with the children of Israel, he had no intention of going back, but there were people in the crowd who wanted to go back when times got tough. When they had that empty feeling, you know, I'm tired of manna, I need some meat, I need some garlic, I need some onions, some melons, like, oh, the Egyptians have. They wanted to go back. If you start yearning for what you left behind in the wrong way, you'll think that the solution for your empty places is just to go back to those things you left. But when you go back, you lose the promises that God wants to give to you that are meant to fill up everything that's empty. Hebrews 11:11, just a few verses earlier, makes it clear how important it is to hold on to God and his promises. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, he was enabled to become a father because. Now, if you're looking there in your Bible, Hebrews 11:11, just underline that word because that'll help you understand how important the next part is. Because he, Abraham, considered him God, faithful, who had made the promise. Why was Abraham able to hold on? Why was he enabled to become a father? Because he considered God, who made the promise, faithful. God made the promise, and he said, Abraham said, this will happen. It will happen. He wasn't presumptuous. It wasn't presumptuous. It was faith, because it was God who had spoken. You see, there are times when we'll put words and ideas out there and we'll try to say God said, but in this case, God really said. God really said. It wasn't Abraham's idea. It was God's idea. It was born of God, and it was real faith. Now, this next detail I'm going to mention, this may be a little different for some of you, because it's a different twist on the idea of the leap of faith or blind faith. You see, the faith of Abraham, I believe, is faith that's not blind. It's faith that sees. And it's faith that listens. And it's faith that experiences. You see, it sees what God is doing and what his purposes are. It's faith that listens. It listens to God when he speaks. And it's experiential faith, too. It experiences the fulfillment of the promises which God has spoken. So this was not just wishful thinking, and it wasn't just religious faith, and it wasn't, you know, a denial and a suspension of all reality. This was a trust in God. How was it that Abraham was able to trust God? He saw God at work. He experienced the presence of God. He had intimacy with God. He knew what God was capable of doing, and he believed God. And it wasn't just Abraham who thought like this. Sarah was the same. In Genesis 17, 16, God says, I will bless Sarah, and I will surely give you, Abraham, a son by her. I will bless Sarah so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And then in Genesis 17, 21, it underlines it again. God says, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Can you imagine how redemptive that was for Abraham and Sarah? Sarah and Abraham, you know, they've worked it out. Hagar is going to be the mother of the covenant child. That was so wrong. But God is coming and he's saying, I promised you, Abraham, I promised you, Sarah, a child, and I'm going to bring you a child by Sarah, not just by Abraham. No need for a surrogate here. Isn't that fascinating? If Sarah was alive today and she had even the faintest idea that she was going to be involved, it would have to be a miracle. Because you can't be that old and get surrogates. You can't be that old and even adopt in America. Isn't that true? And then Genesis 21, verse 1. I love this. The Lord took note of Sarah just as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah just as he had promised. You see, it's not only about Abraham, it's about Sarah too. It's about them together. And ladies, there are some of you who are going to be used. You're being used as mighty women of God, real instruments of faith. And your faith, and if you're married, you and your husband's faith join together and God can do a mighty work. When you have that power of agreement together, when the two of you join together, you start praying together, you start agreeing together, you start asking God for what he wants to do through you. He'll speak to each of you and put faith in your heart. You'll find unity. You'll be able to stand together and you'll receive together. And it won't just be one side. God is not a chauvinist. Did you know that? He actually loves women and men. And he uses this passage to emphasize that Sarah, not just Abraham, is a woman of faith. And that the promises that God made are not to Abraham alone, but to Sarah also, the two of them together. Every disciple of Yeshua will face a time in your life where you will have to leave something for the sake of the kingdom of God. And that will create empty places in you. And every disciple will need to leave, sometimes mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, homes, or whatever. But I can tell you this, when you leave what you leave in faith, God will give you back as you are faithful. Now, whenever I talk like this, I have to stop myself and turn to someone who says, oh, thank goodness the rabbi is giving me the courage I need to leave my wife, my husband. I'm not giving you that courage. If that's in your heart, do not listen to your heart. Something else. listen to the Lord instead. I'll tell you, persevere, hang in, press in, push harder, pray more, fast more, do everything you can until you see a breakthrough. Because you know what? You serve the breakthrough God, Paratz Hashem, Paratz Adonai, the breakthrough God. He's not weak. He's capable of doing amazing things. We read about Abraham and Sarah because we need to know that that kind of faith is available to us. And that God has not changed. He is still able to do more than we're asking or imagining. So if you've got some emptiness right now, because you followed God in obedience and it required some leaving, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you the truth in order to encourage you. Yeshua spoke 3 times to people like you. Mark 10. Verse 28, Peter began to say to Yeshua, look, we've left everything and we followed you. And Yeshua said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the good news who will not receive 100-fold now. Now, do you get the one condition? The leaving was for my sake and for the gospel. It's not just leaving. It's not because you got fed up with your husband. He's too fat. He's too ugly. He works too much. Whatever. He's not sweet. No, you leave for those reasons, you get nothing. But when you find yourself, like Abraham and Sarah, leaving for the sake of the kingdom, there's a promise. You will receive 100-fold now, in this present age. Houses, say that with me. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, say it strongly, children, lands. Here's the part you don't want to say, but it's in here, with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Say that with me. And in the age to come, eternal life. God will give to you 100-fold in this era and in the age to come, eternal life. Matthew 19:29. Everyone who has left houses, let's say it, houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. One more, Luke 18:29. I tell you the truth, Yeshua said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. You see, Yeshua is trying to say something to you. When you have that emptiness that comes because you walk in obedience to God and you had to leave something dear to you, God will give to you more than what you left. And sometimes the very promises that you're yearning for can only be fulfilled after a season of emptiness, after a time when you've not let other things try to fill up that empty place, but you've waited and waited and you've hoped for what God has promised to you, and then you receive. I want to pray for everyone who's waiting. Everyone who's got some emptiness. Everyone who left something. Some of you just, you left your country because you were following the Lord. Some of you, you left jobs. Some of you moved from one city to another. Some of you had the tragedy. You started following the Lord and your spouse wouldn't follow the Lord and refused you and the Lord and pushed you out. And your life's not over despite that harsh treatment. There's a hope and a future for you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us. You have a future for us. You have hope for us. And you have made promises to us. Lord, we want to persevere in faith despite the persecution and the troubles. We want to be faithful to you. We want to demonstrate that you are a faithful God by our living faithfully, that others would see your faithfulness to us. Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight who's got that empty place that came because of what they left for the sake of the kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that your promises would be fulfilled in their life, that you would renew their strength, their perseverance, their determination to receive what you have promised to them. Thank you for those, Lord, who have had to go through sufferings that are now coming to an end, and they've walked faithfully. Thank you that you bring to an end those sufferings, and then you bring the promise. And I thank you, Lord, that it is this week that we remember how Sarah and Abraham received Isaac. Thank you for that. Strengthen us in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. I want to invite my dear friend Corwin Marsh to come up here and stand with me. Corwin is a dear friend. He and his wife, very dear friends from Rochester, New York. They're down here visiting with us. And it is great. It is great to be together with Corwin and Lisa and to have our hearts filled up and to encourage each other. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.